Amen. That's good. That's good. Take your Bibles, if you will, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. In the beginning there, one of the five books of the Pentateuch. Deuteronomy 28. We are working through a series of lessons that goes along with our theme this year, Choose Life. And it says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. I believe that many people live under the damage, the hardship, the dangers of the curse than they really understand that they do. More live under that than I think understand that before they more than realize it. And I know I've read this passage before, but I want to take a little bit of time. And this morning I want to spend a little time allowing us to see how this curse affects our personal life. And if it affects our personal life, the Lord is saying that I could choose not to have it affect me so much. And whereas still in the old sin cursed world, it's going to show up. He says, I've got some blessing for you in contrary to the cursing. And I'd like you to have that and like you to enjoy it. But there's an awful lot of people who live basically under the curse and they wouldn't have to. I want to read one verse here in Deuteronomy 28, verse number 15. Deuteronomy 28, verse number 15. It says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Notice there's a colon there. And then he starts listing, cursed be this, and cursed be that, and cursed be this, and cursed be that. And so he says, it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses, that he's about ready to list for us, shall come upon thee, and watch, overtake thee. Now let me walk back through that one more time. It says, it shall come to pass. Shall means it's going to happen. In other words, it's going to come to pass. This is something, he's describing something that every person has to go through by default, unless the Lord intervenes. This is something that we have to, it comes to pass. It comes for us to experience. He says, this will come to pass, watch, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. That word hearken means to listen. It means to consider the Lord worth listening to. Otherwise, there's an awful lot of people say, well, you know, I know it's here, but I don't know. And they don't bother to know the Word of God because you can say what you want. You do what you think is important. If you thought it was really important, you would get in there and learn it. Now, you're here this morning, and so you hear the Word of God. And I'm not necessarily the greatest speaker in all the world. I'm not necessarily the funnest, most fun one to listen to and so forth. But I think you know that I'm going to give you the Word of God. And so you're willing to endure me this morning to hear the Word of God. That's a good thing. Especially for me, I got a job. But it's good for us to learn the Word of God. Now, he says, this is going to come to pass. And he says, now, if you do not hearken, you do not listen. You don't purposely listen to what the Lord is saying. He says, if you will not watch, hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Watch to observe to do all his commandments. So why are we listening to the Lord? So that we can observe to do according to his commandments. The word observe is like this. Have you ever seen somebody do this? All right. I'm always watching you, Mike Wazowski. I'm always watching you. Okay, so we're watching. He says, I want you to watch yourself. I want you to pay attention to yourself, that you make sure that you are listening and keeping the commandments and the statutes of God. Keep an eye on yourself, because if you don't, we'll forget. We just won't bother. So he said, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God with the purpose of observing to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, if you don't do that, then that all these curses, he's about ready to delineate here, will come upon thee. In other words, they're going to show up in your life. Now, I know as well as you do that we don't always hearken unto the Lord's word like we should. Now, if this word is true, I believe it's true, then that means that the curse is actually showing up in our life more than maybe we even realize. He says, these things are going to show up. These curses shall come upon thee. They're going to show up in life. We're going to be confronted by them. Watch this. And overtake thee. It's like running from a dog. You can't outrun him. After a while, he's going to catch you. He's going to overtake thee. You can't outrun these curses. You can't. If he says, if we don't hear his word to observe to do it, these things are going to come to pass. You know what that means? If you don't heed these things and listen to them, these things are going to come to pass. They're going to overtake you. It's going to happen eventually, at least to some degree. He says, in other words, you won't be able to run away from it. You won't be able to escape it. You're not going to be able to avoid them or get around this. This curse will seem to be hunting us down in hot pursuit. Verse 20, jump down to verse 20. He says, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. He says, here's the wicked part that we've done. We've forsaken God. And we think wickedness is something really wicked. You know, we think wicked is, I've killed somebody, or I did this, or I've connived and I schemed and all this kind of stuff. You know what he says this wickedness is? Just not forsaking, for not just not listening to the Lord, forsaking him. You know what we're saying? I can do it by myself. I'll be fine. I don't really need the Lord. I can handle it. I'm a man. I can do this on my own. Now watch me. Deserting God, walked away from the Lord to go their own way, whether to the right or to the left, to not do what the Lord has commanded us to do, is wicked in the eyes of God. Now watch me now. One other thing I want you to see here. He says, but if thou shalt, I'm sorry, it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Well, you mean I can't just kind of live neutral? You see what I'm saying? See, we think as long as I didn't do something, drastically bad on purpose, then I'm good. That's not what he says here. He says, if I do not make the effort to hearken to the voice of God so that I can obey his word, that these curses are going to come upon me. They're going to overtake me. I cannot be neutral and do nothing and think I can avoid the curses. To avoid the curses, I must hearken, listen to what God says. Does the word have any weight with you? Or do you think it's no big deal? Hearken to the word of God. Two, obey what the Lord says. And three, not walk away and forsake the Lord, but stick with him. Otherwise, the curses will hunt us down and destroy us. That's what it just said. And a lot of people say, I didn't do anything bad, but why is this stuff happening to me? Did you seek the Lord? See, the curse, we learned about the curse last week. That came in Genesis 3. The curse is on all of us. The curse is simply being left to the destruction of the world. But he says, watch, we're born sinners. So we are born dead in sins and trespasses. I didn't have to do anything to earn hell. All I had to do was be born. And I can't earn heaven. But he says, I'll give it to you for as a gift if you admit that you can't earn it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a gift if you'll take it. But if I do nothing, by default I go to hell. Jesus came not to condemn the world, because the world's condemned already, John 3. Do nothing, we're lost. Do nothing, we're living in the curse. Let's have a word of prayer. And I want to speak on this morning. Overtaken by the curse. Overtaken by the curse. Father, again, we thank you for this word. We pray, Lord, you'll help me to present it in a way that they understand it. I don't want to confuse it, not say more or less. But Lord, help me. I need your Holy Spirit. I think there's a lot of folks who are living amongst the curse and don't even know it. And they think they got everything under control and just, well, that's just life. When there could be your hand of blessing upon them in many ways that they're missing out on. So, Lord, teach us your word. If anyone doesn't know Christ as their Savior today, pray that today be the day of their salvation. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Many people, I believe, think that following God is something that's nice to do, if you can, and it may be to our advantage to do so, to possibly make our lives a little better. And so they, quote unquote, do so when it's convenient. That's not really obeying God as much as it is gambling on an investment, hoping to get some return out of it. The Lord says that life, by default, is cursed, and the only way out of the curse is by turning to God with our whole heart. The Lord can supersede the curse on our behalf if we will seek Him and follow Him with all our hearts. Being neutral about the Lord is not enough to avoid the curse of this world. I don't have to be an atheist or some notorious criminal to be affected by the curse. The Lord's not coming to condemn us, but we are condemned already. We are vulnerable to the curse by simply being a member of the human race, a descendant of Adam. The destruction of the curse shows up in our lives, some more, some less, often depending upon the situation we were born into or the circumstances that come upon us or our personal decisions of our own in life. But either way, it is the curse, and the curse will impact our lives. However, the impact can be limited, as we just read. Now, the curse, and I'll give you a definition again. Again, means to execrate, which doesn't help any of us because nobody knows what that word means. But it means to abominate, to disapprove, to disesteem, to loathe, to pronounce to be no longer affiliated with. I don't want to have anything to do with them. In other words, if God curses us, he's saying, you're on your own. There's an enemy coming? Well, you're on your own. Disease is in town? Well, you're on your own. You're trying to care for your marriage? Well, you're on your own. You're trying to raise kids? Well, you're on your own. You're trying to get your job done, you're on your own. Now, I don't know about you. I don't want to be on my own. I want God helping me. There's a lot of times where I have realized that when I got all done something, God was the one that pulled everything together. I mean, over and over and over and over again. And I'm so glad because, listen, you ought to be glad that I don't want to live on my own. You don't want a pastor trying to do this on his own, because you're not going to have much of a pastor. We've all walked, or we've all run away from the Lord, and the Lord has let us go at some time in our life. And not that the Lord is glad we're gone, but the Lord is not going to make us stay. It's kind of like the prodigal son. We talked about that the other week. The prodigal son said, I want my money. I'm going to go live my life. I don't need daddy telling me what to do. And so he left the confines of his father's house. And he also left all the blessings behind, all the safety measures, the umbrella of safety his father was bringing, the safety net of provision for his life, the wisdom of dad that was actually probably he did a lot of things he didn't do while he was home because he knew dad wouldn't like it. And so just being around dad kind of kept him out of trouble. But as soon as he was out from under the dad's arm and out from dad's sight, he went out and did his own thing, and he ended up with nothing, lost it all. The curse is simply God allowing us to be vulnerable to the great curse that's already enacted upon this world, because that is what we have chosen. We don't have to choose that. We could choose to seek him. But if you choose to do, by the way, to choose to do nothing is a choice. To choose to not choose God is to choose against God. It is not about adding. Listen, God doesn't add or invent a curse to get back at us when we do something wrong and punish us. It is God lifting his hedge of protection from around us. And that can happen more and more until we become more and more exposed to the world and all its pain and sorrow as we try to live without seeking the Lord. And this will be evidenced in our lives by the consequences of the curse that accumulate and mount up against us. Let me remind you that one day no one has to stay lost in the curse. But the Lord is willing to take us back into the blessings if we will repent, seek his face with all our hearts, and start doing what he called us to do. There are folks who seem to have the whole world against them. And they actually do, because the world's against them. Because the world's against all of us. You can have this whole world. But give me Jesus. So you're limiting yourself. I'll guarantee you you're better off with having Jesus than you are of having the world. I know it sounds like preacher talk. But you'll be down the road, you'll be glad. The curse is against everyone ever born, but Jesus has overcome the world. What we need is to have Jesus overcoming the world for us personally and individually. Yet many people refuse the Lord. John 16:33, I mentioned the other week. These things have I spoken to you, this is Jesus speaking, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Now if he's overcome the world, he's my overcomer, why am I not overcoming the world? Because I am not seeking his face. I'm trying to be neutral. I'm trying to straddle the fence. I want to play in the world, and I want Jesus to bless me at the same time. Listen, isn't that comfortable sitting on a fence? If the Lord has overcome the world, then we need to stick close to the Lord, our overcomer. And when you walk away from the righteousness of God, you walk away from God, and thus you walk away from your overcomer. Thus we are left to try and survive in this world of the curse, helpless and unarmed. We do not have the ability to fight the curses of the world because we're wrestling against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, last week, we discovered the origin of the curse in Genesis 3, the fall of man. And then we understood that the entire creation was put under this curse, away from the presence and the blessings of God. We also saw some basic aspects of the curse that we can expect to come into our lives because of the curse. Remind you of a couple of things here. The curse brings contention. The curse brings sorrow, pain into our lives. The curse brings conflict in your heart and conflict in your relationships. The curse brings problems and difficulties. You just like the briars, and so just hard to get in the, just makes life hard. The curse makes you wonder if life is really worth the effort. I mean, we talked about our theme last year. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why the disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Why am I having to live a life like this? Why do I have to be so depressed? You don't have to be. Put your hope in him. In fact, when you put your hope in him, he starts blessing. The curse removes us from the Lord's blessing. We also found we can compound the effects of the curse against ourselves when we indulge in additional sin. Listen, the curse is on us already. Cain and Abel, remember Cain killed Abel? Not only did he have the curse, but now he's cast out from everybody. He lived over in the land of Nod. Some of you are going to go there in a few minutes here, I think. But he lived in the land of Nod, and he said, this is too hard for me. And yet we said, well, life is hard. And instead of going to God to get the blessing, we start going to the world trying to appease ourselves and make ourselves feel better. And we compound the curse in our own decision. We found that we can open ourselves to up to more of the curse by simply not being on the Lord's side on things. This is the truth. We're talking about Abraham. God says, I'll bless those who bless Abraham. I'll curse those that curse Abraham. Abraham means Israel. And you say, well, that's so long ago. He hasn't retracted that. One of the reasons America is still on the map, is still on the earth, is because they've been Israel's friend. I'll tell you what, if we turn our back on Israel, that could be the straw that breaks the camel's back, and God says, okay, you're not even with me here on this. I mean, you guys are a mess, but you're not even sticking with my people now. We're done. I mean, I really believe that. He says, I'll bless them who bless them. I'll bless you. I'll bless whoever blesses them. I'm going to curse those who curse them. We found out life is living among the curse. Life is hard. There's thorns and thistles that come in. And then in Proverbs 22, it says, thorns and snares in the way of the froward. If you go off the main path, out there on the side, going here and there, looking into the world, you're going to get in the thorns and snares. The Bible says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Proverbs 13:15. And then we found out, lastly, you cannot escape the curse. It will overtake us. Now, this morning, I want to get specific about a couple of things here. I think that there's an awful lot of people who are living lives that are affected by the curse in a much greater way than they need to be. And I think sometimes it's because we've lived in a home that didn't seek the Lord, so you were living under the curse in that family. And, of course, they did that, and they never passed, because the family before, their parents didn't pass it on. And so you say, well, my family just has bad luck. My family just has a curse on us. We're jinxed. No, that's the natural state of someone living without walking with God. And so we don't pass it down as a generation after generation after generation. We all have this same problem. Listen, it can stop today. It can stop today. So I'm going to stop the flow of the curse. I'm going to seek the Lord with all my heart so that I can observe to do according to His word. Because the fact is, if you got this passage, it says, well, it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments and statutes, which I command thee this day, all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And then it goes and lists all these curses. But then if you go a little further, it says now if you decide you're going to observe to do, then it says then all these blessings will come to you. And it's just the opposite of what we're going to talk about here. Let me give you number one. Let me say this. How intrusive is the curse on your life? I think we're going to see some things. You could say, well, that's just life. It is just life. But it doesn't have to be your life. We're going to see some things today. We're not going to get all finished. We're going to see some things next week. I want you to understand that there's some things that we could do. Number one, the curse is not determined by location. That sounds funny. But the curse is not determined by location. Let me say this. I cannot run from the curse. Look at verse 16. So it says that these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Verse 16, cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shall be in the field. Now, the word city there means a place that's guarded, has a watchman, like where we're all together, where we're not alone. There's somebody there kind of looking out for us. The word field means out in the wild where we're all on our own, all alone. So whether I'm in the city, see, now I grew up in the country, so I feel like, man, you're going to have the curse all over you in the city. But then you got other people who grew up in the city, and they're glad they're in the city. When my dad, years ago, my dad had some folks come out to the house. We lived out in the country. Now there was, if you looked at the road, there was our house and the house next door and the house next door and so forth. But behind our house was an open field, and it was probably, I don't know, 50, 60 acres or more, maybe 100 acres, and one farmhouse out in the middle. So you look out the back of our house, and it was open space. And he had these guys come. I can't remember now what they were out there for, but they were from the city. This one boy had never been outside of Baltimore City. I mean, never stepped outside of Baltimore City. Of course, I'm not sure at that point I'd even been in Baltimore City, but he had never been out of it. And he was standing he behind the house, and he was almost stunned. He looked across the back field. And my dad said, "What's the matter, son?" He says, "This is scary." "What do you mean this is scary?" "You're out here, you're just kind of nothing. There's nothing to guard you. There's nothing." He said, "I'm used to having buildings all around me." Now, for me, being a country boy, I just imagine walking down the road and somebody jumping out of an alley and stealing me or something. You know, that's what. And I didn't want the buildings there. I want to be able to see who's around me. You know, I want to be able to see. Just totally different. But God says, "Listen, that has nothing to do with it. Whether you've got somebody protecting you or whether you don't, you don't have to be under the curse, because there's one bigger than that man who's your watchman. He's your high tower, your fortress, your strength. The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want." And so he says, "I don't care what." He says, "The curse. Watch this. The curse is everywhere." Some people say, "Well, if I just move, the curse will be." No, moving from the city will not remove us from the curse. Moving from the wild wilderness to the city will not remove us from the curse. It will not matter. It doesn't matter where you live. You will not escape the curse. Moving to the country will not solve your problems. The problem is not where your home is. It's where you happen to be or where you happen to be at the moment. Your problem is whether you are there with the blessings of God or not. No matter where we go, the curse will find us. The curse was placed on the whole earth. The curse is on us. It travels with us. You cannot escape the curse. You are not going to be an exception. "Well, it won't happen to me. I'll be okay. I'll be able to handle it." No! That's why you say, "Except by the grace of God, there so goes I." That's the truth. Listen, you're not going to sneak by in life unnoticed by the curse scot-free. Some folks with a troubled marriage, now they're not going to go out and sing to the tractor, but some folks with a troubled marriage will sell their homes, move to a new house or a new community or a new city or even a new country in hopes of having a new start away from the problems they have been having. But you know what happens when they get there? Eventually, it's just as bad. See, you can't move away from the curse. The location is not the curse. The curse is on us, and thus the curse goes with us. So people move and they take their roaches with them. You know what I mean? We think if I just move far, far enough away, the curse will get in a new situation. I'll just get a new job. I'll just get a new spouse. I'll just get a new husband, new wife. I'll just get some new clothes. I'm going to get a new car. And the curse is going to leave. No, the curse is not on those things. You might feel like your car is cursed, but it's cursed for your sake, not for the car's sake. No, I'm serious. Now, I've done those things in the world, just problems, and you're all going to have problems. But somehow, Lord helps us through those problems if we're living under the blessing. Otherwise, we're left on our own to deal with this thing. Just a change of location is not going to protect you from the curse. Number two. The curse affects our personal welfare. I think some people just think that, again, we're going to just sneak by. God's not paying attention to me. He doesn't know whether I went to church this morning or not. He doesn't know whether I read my Bible or not. He doesn't know. But by the way, it's not so much that you read your Bible and you checked off your list. Now, I think it's good to have a list. Of, you know, like we have those little reading guides, and you know where you are in the Bible. You remember where you are and so forth. There's nothing wrong with that. But he says we need to listen to the Word of God to what? Observe to do, to obey it. God knows whether we're obeying or not. Yeah, but he's so busy with all the other stuff going on in the world, he's not catching me. Oh, it's no problem. He's got the hairs on your head numbered. Now, I know it doesn't work so hard for some people, but he's got your hairs on your head numbered. He knows when a sparrow falls. And are you not worth more than a sparrow? God knows who you are. And some people, well, that's kind of scary. That's great. If you're found in righteousness, and if you're not in righteousness, you can listen. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Get cleaned up. And then he says, your sins I remember no more. I've cast them as far as the east is from the west. Buried in the depths of the deepest sea. And the thing is, we're living, this curse is affecting our personal welfare. For instance, it affects how well we're provided for. Look at verse 17. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Well, what's that mean? That means God's going to make sure you have what you need. I'll be honest with you. I think that's one of the reasons why we go to the grocery store right now in America, and sometimes you can't find anything on the shelf. I really believe that. When's the last time we ever had that problem? World War II? Really? I mean, when the storm comes through and you can't find any toilet paper and milk. Of course, they don't milk any other time, but they have to during the storm. And they don't really eat bread, you know, over bread, but they got to buy some during the storm. But my daughter. And Brandon, they went up to Vermont to start that church. She said she went to the store. She said she couldn't even find the kind of lettuce she doesn't like. There was nothing there. He says that if we're being blessed, if God, now listen, that's the curse. That's world going haywire without him in all things, all things consist. So he says, oh, you don't need me to consist your world? Have itself, and let it consist of itself. Let's see what you got. Go ahead. And things start to fall apart. He says your cabinets will not be full. God's not watching out for your provision, making sure you have what you need. It will seem you have to work so hard just to have enough to get by. He says that curse will curse. He'll let your cabinet by itself. If it fills up, you did it. But you're not getting God's help on it. So we're going to fight this world all by ourselves. We're not going to win. Look at verse 18. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. Now, I'm assuming that the fruit of our body are our children. We're going to see the effects of the curse on our family. Things we didn't want to see. Now, I know it's appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. People die. I'm not talking about that. Some great Christians have died early, and we don't understand why God allowed, but they went that paradise early. That's okay. But, you know, this is not to say that the inability to have children is a personal attack of the curse. Many righteous women had difficulty having children, and some never did. That's not really the point. But we're going to have problems and issues with our children that we cannot seem to fix. because we're having to do it all on our own without God interceding for us on our behalf. I don't want to raise my kids on my wisdom. I don't want to raise my kids on Oprah's wisdom or Dr. Phil's or anybody else. I want to raise my children on the God's wisdom. When I do things my way, it's going to be a problem. And I have found that if I do things God's way, there's a lot of things he fixed along the way I didn't even know needed to be fixed. He's blessing us beyond the curse. Your kids, you've got kids who don't do much with their lives as they could have. They're living under the curse. Now they can change that. But have you led them in that way? It starts with you. Bible says, happy is a man whose quiver is full. You know, they're talking about the kids. You know, he said, well, you don't know my kids. Happy is a man whose quiver is full. I'm not so happy. I'll tell you what, you would be if you saw your children walk with God. You'd be thrilled to death. Now, you can't force them and hold them under your thumb. That's what we think. Well, I'm going to make them do that. That's not living under the blessings. You're doing it. Let God do it. Well, how do you do that? Get them to the Word of God. Be a good example. The fact that you go to the Word of God, you find out what God says, and that's what we do. Happily. And you know what your kids learn to do? The same thing. Happily. And they realize the Lord will take care of them. They're growing up that way. We're not worried about, he said, listen, he says, in this world you should have tribulation because I brought you peace. Because he's overcome the world. Watch this. It says, the cursed shall be the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. He says, when you're living under the curse, and you're trying to do this all on your own, he says, business is just not as productive as it could be. I'm not saying you're going to have, you know, you're going to be Bill Gates. I'm just saying you couldn't be as productive as it could be. You say, well, this are you talking about a prosperity gospel here? No, I'm not. I'm talking about living a righteous life and seeing God's blessing. It's just right here in the Word. We can live in life all by myself, or I can let God help me through this time. Business will just not be as productive as it could have been. Your business just never seems to get off the ground, never gets ahead, never gains. Why? Because we're trying to do it on our own. What we are trying to produce gets corrupted or contaminated, or it's a bad crop of corn, or diseased or weak animals. If you know your Bible stories, remember Jacob and Laban, his father-in-law, and God blessed Jacob, the sheep. You know, they divided the sheep up, and God's and Jacob's sheep just kept multiplying. They were strong and they were healthy, and Laban's just got weaker and weaker, and a mess. Now you could say, I'm not sure why. You know, maybe because Jacob was a mess, although he trusted God. And he was also a child of Abraham. So God blesses those that bless them, and he curses those that curse him. And Laban was kind of dealing some dirty things with him. So God blessed Jacob, and he cursed Laban. Joseph, he went down into Egypt, was sold into Egypt as a slave, and he was bought by Potiphar. The Bible says that God blessed Potiphar because of Joseph. Joseph did right, and God blessed him. And he said, well, I'm sticking with this guy. It's part of it. It's in our personal life. Let me give you one more, verse 19. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Now, that phrase in the Bible is often in reference to administrating wars and battles. He came in and went out in battle. That's where it's used often. We can look at it this way. It could be talking about our duties in life, things we have to administrate, things we have to lead. He says, when we're cursed, he said, we just don't know how to go about our duties in life. Living life becomes confusing. It's difficult to make wise life decisions. No wisdom in administration or in leadership skills. There's some folks, they couldn't lead a pack of hungry dogs to a butcher shop. Well, why is that? Well, you know what? Because we're not being, there's some people who have more talent in that than others, but the fact is, think about it, if somebody had that talent and then God got on their team, think about what could be done. Some of the crazy decisions that people make. I don't want to be mean here, but our administration in Washington have made a whole series of really dumb decisions. I don't mean, you can say what you think, but I'm sorry. What were they thinking about Afghanistan? That's right, they weren't. Well, the fact is they were, but they were only thinking with whatever's up here between these two ears. They just were making bad decisions. The economy. What in the world was he thinking when the first thing he did was shut down that pipeline, the Keystone Pipeline? So we get into politics here. It affects my life. And the people who are making decisions affect my life. And the fact is, they could have had more wisdom when they were affecting my life. And how could that have happened? If they had listened to the Word of God. And you say, well, God doesn't even talk about the Keystone Pipeline in the Bible. I understand. But the fact is, God will give you wisdom and understanding, and even things that aren't in the Bible, he'll make them clear to you. And you're going to say, well, that'd be a stupid move. And then we wonder why gas is $3.75 down here at the sheets. $3.75! That looks like California gas. $3.75. That's ridiculous. Well, you know, it's just because it was because of COVID. No, it wasn't. Well, it's because of Ukraine. No, it wasn't. It was going long before Ukraine. When did it start going up? Well, right around January 20th, when he got put on that first day when he decided to say, make an executive decision, close down the pipeline and open the one up in Russia. Now, I'm not trying, I know you said you're in politics. I'm telling you that curses shalt thou be when thou comest in, and curses shalt thou be when thou goest out. You won't know how to run the country. You won't know how to protect the country. You don't know how to defend the country. And you're just making crazy decisions. Just seems ignorant of how to order and run his own life or his business and whatever is delegated to us. That's what it's saying. I don't know how to do it. In 1 Kings 3:6, it says this. I'm almost done. 1 Kings 3:6. Solomon had been made the king. You know, many of you know the story. And the Lord says to Solomon, what do you want? I'll give you whatever you need. And Solomon says this. He says, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and uprightness of heart with thee. He says, my dad wasn't perfect, but he was a man after your heart. And he sought you, and you in your mercy you blessed him. And thou hast kept him for this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. He says, the only reason I'm here, Lord, is because you decide you're going to bless him. I know that. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of my father, or in the place of my father, and I am but a child, little child. Watch. And I know not how to go out or come in. There's that phrase. He says, I don't know how to run this country. I don't know what I'm doing. Bigger than I am. And by the way, if you're in the middle of something that's a good thing, but it's bigger than you are, you have the right to ask God to give you wisdom to do that job, to prosper you in that position. It says, I know not how to go out or come in, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for the multitude. He says, I don't know what I'm doing. Here I am in the middle of all these people. All right, here I am in the middle of the nation's capital. And he says, here I'm sitting on the throne. I don't know what I'm doing. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? He says, I can't do it, but God can. And he may use me to do that. What a mercy. What mercy. Now let me finish this up here. Look at verse 20. Kind of a summary for where we are so far. Verse 20. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. He says, this is the wickedness. You just walked away from God. You're not asking for truth. You're not asking for wisdom. You're not asking for understanding. You think you're going to do it all by yourself. He says, that's wicked. You should have no other gods before me. I'm supposed to be your God. And he said, because of that, I'm going to send upon thee, that means to give over to, forsake, I'm going to send upon you cursing. In other words, I'm going to send upon you a condition where I'm leaving you alone in the curse to fend for yourself. And I'm sending upon you vexation. What's that? Confusion. An uproar and troubles and problems, a churning in your soul, worry, fretting, anxiety, fear. You're not going to know how to make decisions. You're not going to know what's next. You're going to be fearful just to get up every morning and do your job or live or survive. And rebuke. In other words, you're going to feel like there's always somebody on your back riding you, telling you what you did wrong. No matter what you do, you're always getting yourself in trouble. You turn this way, you turn that way, you thought, okay, well, I'm going to do that, I'll do over here, and sure enough, I'm in trouble all over again. And everything, every place I turn, I'm just stepping into more mud, more mess. He says, that's going to be my life. That's what my life is going to be. Why? In fact, it says, watch, in all that thou settest thine hand unto to do, no matter what I try to do, it just seems as if nothing works out. I just wander through life with problems and getting into trouble and people on my case, and I can't seem to make anything work. That's because you're living under the curse by choice. By choice. Until thou be destroyed. In other words, it gets worse until everything just falls apart. And then it says, until thou perish quickly. So until we lose ourselves, we wander off until it's gone. Because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken. All because we decided to go off on our own as if we did not need the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If nothing else, it's worth doing right just so the Lord can give you some direction in your life. What am I going to do now? Young people, there's some of you, you're trying to make decisions. What am I going to do in my life? Here's the thing. Seek the Word of God. Seek His face. Obey Him. And when you mess up, confess your sin. He's faithful just to forgive your sin. You seek with all your heart, He will order your steps. He will order your steps. He will show you what the next door is. It seems like life is just keeps getting worse and worse until it falls apart. And what's the great sin that I've committed to put me in this position? I have forsaken the Lord. I've decided I want to loose myself from his rules and his confines. Just trying to live life, and in so doing, I've walked away from the Lord and away from his hand upon me, and thus I've walked away from his blessing. I'm the prodigal. I have relinquished my hold on the Lord. We're supposed to hope in the Lord, supposed to wait on him, and that means hang on to him. Wherever he says to do, that's what I'm going to do. If he moves, I move. If he stands still, I stand still. But we've stopped doing that. We're saying, I'm going to live life by myself. I can do this by myself. And he says, okay, go ahead. Just remember, you're doing it without me. Well, so what happens there then? It leaves me by default in the curse. The curse will overtake us. There's no option. Now, I realize people live in different societies and so forth, and so we see more, some people see more of the curse than less because of where they've been, what their society is, where they started in life and so forth. The fact is, it's all curse. Just think about what we could have had if we had lived under his blessing. We'll deal a little bit more of that next time.